will say, I don't know why, but I always get like super nervous whenever I first step up to something like this, like preaching at the old folks home. And it's like whenever we sing the hymns, I don't know, it's just something about it that just like changes my whole mindset, and it's awesome. For those of you that don't know, my name's Justin. I've been going to Old Pass Baptist Church for about a year, say like four, in between 4 or 5 months now. That might be a little bit too much, but point being, I've been going there for quite a bit now, and praise the Lord for it, because honestly, wouldn't be the man I am today. I wouldn't be the man I need to be for God today. I'm going to dive into a little bit of just how God changed my life and how he had a hand in my life even when I was unsaved. So with that being said, I'm going to take you a little bit further back, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever I was in freshman and sophomore year of high school. I was actually going to some church called Cornerstone Church. And it was this church where we had like a rock concert. It was like 45 minutes of what they call worship. And then we'd have a 15-minute inspirational message, and then another 30 minutes of singing nonstop. And that was kind of it. And it was one of those things, going there for like, I would say, 4 years. I didn't get anything out of it. I feel like, in fact, the first day that I came to Old Pass Baptist Church, I got more out of the Bible than I did those entire 4 years. That's just because the church that we go to actually studies the Bible, believes in the Bible, and we want to do something for the Lord. With that being said, though, because of that, I kind of fell out of church. And at this point, I wasn't saved. And my junior year and my senior year, I ended up getting into a lot of drugs, getting into the wrong crowd. And with that, I mean, it went from smoking cigarettes to doing some other things that just don't need to be done, just in any shape or form. And it got to a point to where it was an addiction. I would come back to it all the time. Didn't matter what the drug was that I was taking. As long as I had a drug that I was smoking or drinking or just ingesting, I was so-called happy. And it took a toll on me, just because I realized that the only times that I was happy was when I was taking something that was controlling me. And with that, it wasn't till a point. Now, I will say my senior year is when I met Dylan, my freshman year is when I met Dylan, but my senior year is whenever I met Damien and became friends with Dylan and Damien. It was in our weights class, and there was a goofy story of how we kind of all became friends. It's not necessarily how we became friends, but it's how it all started. I don't know why we were jumping over each other, but we were, and it was in gym class, and I think Damien jumped over Dylan, or Dylan jumped over Damien, or however it went, but I ended up saying, I want to join in, and so I jumped over Damien. Maybe it was another class, I can't remember, but point being, I jumped over, I broke my wrist, and it was a super goofy incident that happened, after that, we just started talking, and we became friends, and it was definitely something that, at first, drugs is what kind of tied us together. It's what we kind of bonded over, but I feel like as time went on, we got to know who each other were, and we actually became close friends in that. And with that, it kind of got to a point to where we knew that we needed to start doing better. Like, we started edifying each other, and it was definitely in a worldly way. So we ended up wanting to get an apartment together, and that didn't necessarily happen. They ended up getting an apartment together, and I ended up staying at my mom's. But it was kind of one of those things that was definitely something that I saw God's hand in. And the reason that was is because if they didn't get that apartment, who knows if Dylan would have met Dell. Dell is a man that went to our church for, I believe, 2 or 3 years, something like that. And so with that, during this whole time, and this is outside of high school now, we were all kind of working at a similar job. Me and Dylan were working at Siding and Windows for about a year, and then Damian joined the scene for about like 3 months or so, I can't remember, but we were still just doing all sorts of drugs, didn't really care what we were putting on our body, didn't care how we were treating our bodies, how we were treating our minds. I knew about Christ and I knew about God. It was just kind of one of those things. I had a reprobate mind at the time. And I didn't really care. I thought what I was doing was the right thing. And so with that, what ended up happening, the only reason that I got introduced to the King James Bible, the only reason that I got introduced to, true belief as a Christian, and just truth is through Dylan meeting Dell. Because if Dylan didn't meet Dell, then I wouldn't have been able, or then Dylan wouldn't have invited me and Damian to Old Pass Baptist Church, and I wouldn't have listened to Bob preach that sermon. And it was awesome because he was the first sermon that I heard him preach, or well, yeah, it was the first sermon I heard him preach. It wasn't over salvation, but he definitely touched on it. And then he also touched on a little bit of some discipleship. And just if anyone would be interested in, you know, doing some discipleship, basically learning the Bible, getting a foundation in Christianity. And there was something that was different about just going to that church, obviously, because they actually, they're here at this church, we actually believe and we preach truth, we teach truth. We want to study the Bible. We want to learn who Christ is, and we want his mind in ours. And so with that, it kind of threw me off. And so I'm a very hard-headed person. So I decided that I was like, okay, I'm going to be a little bit optimistic about it, because at first I was like, I don't like the dude. He was very, very to the point, and I was like, nah, I don't want none of it. But after meeting some of the people, after the first couple of times going there, I was like, okay, there's got to be something good happening here. They got a preacher that's yelling at them, but then they're all happy at the end of the service. I don't know what's going on. So I decided to be a little bit more optimistic about it and continue to go. If I'm being honest with myself and with you guys, for about the first couple of months, the only reason that I went was because of the people that I saw. I didn't really kind of open my mind up to the Word of God till I met Alex Sanders. I'm sure you guys know him. He's a wonderful man. I love that dude. He can for sure, I would say, dry you out almost, if you will, on just like how much he can talk about the Word of God, which is awesome. Praise the Lord for it. But I was talking to him about discipleship, because this is the second time that I heard Bob not preach about it, but mention it after one of his services. So I asked him, what's discipleship? And he kind of went down what it was, broke it down just like Bob did. So it didn't really give me much. But then I asked him, I was like, what does it mean to get saved? Because at this point, I've heard it so many times. And, you know, with all the scripture that's Bob had been thrown out at my face. And at this time I had the King James Bible. So I was just like, I was kind of like, well, he's kind of preaching facts here. It was one of those things. I was like, I want to know what salvation is in the Bible. And I want to know, I want to see what it really means and what the truth is behind it. And so he ran me through Romans Road. Just talking about more specifically Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10 and 13. And I mean, those were really the only verses that we talked about. And he never asked me the question, you know, have you prayed to the Lord for your salvation? Like, have you asked the Lord for your salvation? He just kind of left it at that. And I, to this day, I feel like that's just really what the Lord put on his heart, because it wasn't but a week later. So let me give you a little context here. I was working a job. It's called the North Star Group. It's a roofing company. I was a roofing contractor. We go door to door, basically trying to sell people on the idea to get a new roof through their insurance company from hail damage and stuff like that. And I ended up knocking on this dude's door. I've knocked on his door like 3 or 4 times now. I've talked to his wife like 3 times. And the wife every time told me, come back when my husband's home. And she wouldn't give me a time. Well, he was home this time, except he woke up sleepy. Or, well, he came to the door, excuse me, sleepy, as if he'd just woken up. And so I was like, oh, well, this is going to go 1 or 2 ways. He's going to slam the door on my face because he doesn't want it because he had just woken up. Or he's going to come out and start cussing me out because I woke him up, because he knows I'm a salesman. He's just not going to have it. And the dude ended up walking out. His name's William. He's a pastor at a Baptist church in Buckner, which is like 30 minutes away from our church. He ended up walking out, and he was super kind the whole way through. He knew who I was. His wife had talked to him about me, and he just came outside and he was like, dude, just get up on my roof. He's like, I know I've had some hail damage, yada, yada. So I get up on his roof, take my pictures that I need to take, and then I come down, going through the sale, trying to get him to sign a contract and all that fun stuff. And I don't know what hit me, but I asked him, I was like, what do you do for a job? Because I think I was just trying to create some small talk. And he said, well, I'm a part-time worker at Burger King, but I'm a full-time servant of the Lord. I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I'm a pastor at a Baptist church in Buckner. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, I actually just got into a Baptist church here, not but 3 months ago. And I've had a question that I've just been trying to figure out this whole time. How do you get saved? And he said, well, do you mind if I run you through that? We can come inside and I can show you in the Bible what it means to get saved. And I almost said ironically, not ironically, just a matter of this man knew truth. He came in, he showed me Romans Road, he talked to me a little bit about Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not by works, but it's by grace. And he led me to the Lord that day. And it was on October 16th of 2020, and I was 2021, I think. No, 2020. Hold up. Two weeks ago. Appreciate it. No. and we sat there and we talked Bible. We talked about Jesus. I was just asking him so many questions. There was questions I was asking him that I don't remember because I was happy. I was ecstatic. I was like, it was one of those things that finally clicked. I was like, okay, I get it. I got it now. And I mean, before we even signed the contract, I stayed in that dude's house and we were reading through the Bible and praying for about a good 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was just, definitely one of the most memorable moments that I have. Not just for the fact that I got saved, but just kind of how it went down. And just talking to him about, you know, how I, going through it, I had seen the Lord work in the ways he worked. As I said, you know, if it weren't for Dylan meeting Dell, I wouldn't be at this church. Well, there's also a few things that I've noticed, whenever I was asked to come and give my testimony to you guys. There's a few things that I was just kind of pondering on. And one of them was the fact that there was a time where I had a chance to go to Florida. I had an opportunity to go to Florida, at this, it was a, welding school, and it was one of those things. It was invitational only. You can only get there if you're invited. And it was just through connections that my uncle had. He was a very successful man in the military. He had one of his military buddies who knew a guy who also knew a guy who knew a guy who knew the professor that worked there at the university. And so I had that opportunity, and I was actually going to take it. My dad had a lot of things set in place so that if I did take it, I'd have a vehicle, I'd have a place to live that he'd pay for like the next year. And I don't know what caused me to say no to going, because there wasn't really much. At the time, I was still unsaved and very much into drugs. And looking at where that school was, it was one of the richer parts of Florida, which also was one of those areas that they like to party a lot. So, I mean, it was kind of one of those things. Just looking back, it's like, I don't know why I said no. If I was in my mind at the time, not my right mind, but if I was in my mind at the time, everything about me should have said yes. But that was just one of those things that I was like, it definitely had to have God in that God's hand in that, because yeah, that's everything an unsaved person, you know, doing drugs would want to do is go down to a place where they party every weekend. So with that, now, like I said, I've been saved at this point with William. We talked for 3 hours. It was awesome. I called like 40 different people: my mom, my dad, my boss, Dylan, Damien, just a bunch of people. Alex, I had a good conversation with him. I was like, it clicked, bro. But then the next day, or the next like following weeks, it was just kind of a blur. In a sense that it was like, I was so excited, I just wanted to get everything. And it took me a bit to like slow down and to figure out a groove. In fact, I'm still kind of working on that, working on consistency, working on needing to do what I need to do each and every day for the Lord. While also having that balance of, you know, I also have a job and friends and family that I need to attend to. And so that's a constant battle. I feel like it's going to be a constant battle throughout my entire life. But one thing I wanted to leave off with you guys here, from just kind of what I've learned through the past year now of being saved and being in a church that, you know, studies and reads and teaches and preaches the Bible and truth, is change. And it's one of those things that with change, it requires choice. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but each and every day, each and every morning, we have the choice to wake up and pray to the Lord. You know, we have a choice to get into our Bible each and every day. We also have the choice to not do that. And we also have the choice to say, oh, it's the morning, I'm tired, I'm cranky, I'm going to think of the worst thing possible, and I'm going to put my mind on that and stick to it. And that's something that I've struggled with personally. I'm not a morning person, if you gathered. Not a morning person at all. And not only that, but I'm also a night owl. So I mean, there's some consistency there of why I'm not a morning person. But it's like, Just going through the change of, first and foremost, getting a sleeping schedule on my part that's going to work for me. But secondly, even with that, there's only so much that I can do. I just need to stay consistent in the fact that when I wake up, I need to have the Lord on my mind. And when I go to sleep, I need to have the Lord on my mind. And all throughout the day, I need to have the Lord on my mind. And it's one of those things that, I don't mean that in the sense that I'm going to spend 12 to 18 hours reading the Bible, even though I kind of wish I could. That would be awesome. But more so in the sense that I just need to make sure that this is what the Lord's put on my heart, at least, is that I need to make sure that I'm praying for the people I need to pray for, that I'm praying for myself, that I'm talking to the Lord, because it's one of those things. He talks to us through the Bible. I got to talk to him through prayer. It's one of those things. It's a relationship between two people. There has to be communication. And not only that, but also I need to get into the Word. And I need to also sing to him. Like there's a lot of things that I feel like I need to do for the Lord. And my point behind this is the only way that's going to happen is through change. And the only way that I'm actually going to change is if I truly set my affections to the Lord. If I truly say, hey, you know, I'm putting 80% in to you today, Lord. 20% of it, I'm going to give the world. Well, that's not truly setting your affections on the Lord. And I know it's hard each and every day. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. So it's one of those things that we're never going to be perfect each and every day. But it's one of those things that I feel like the most change will come from it by each and every day, by going through each day as if it's not necessarily the last, but as if it's the focal point of what I need to be focusing on. Just making sure that I'm doing everything that I can in the day to give God the glory, to give him the recognition, because, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I'm saved. That should be enough for anyone to say, I'm going to give God 100%. Amen. So it's one of those things, again, we're imperfect, and I don't want to say that as an excuse, but it's one of those things that I personally have just been really fighting to make sure that in each and everything that I'm keeping a calm and a focused mind, and knowing that when I get angry or when I get sad or say I get this weird emotion, that I look back to the Lord and say, okay, is this right? And if it's the right thing to do, if it's where I need to be, if it's how I need to be acting, then I go, okay, I'm going to stick with it. But if it's not, I'm going to change, and I'm going to figure out how I need to be acting and in a sense of where I need to be if it's not. So that's what I got for you guys today. I hope it was a blessing.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Go for it, Damon.